The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans. And muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for today is standing firm in Islam.
جلالي والإكرام يا
Today, Thursday, is the 4th of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Ar-Rum, verses 14 to 16.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويوم تقوم الساعة يومئذ يتفرقون.
And the day the hour appears, that day they will become separated.
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَهُمْ فِي رَوْضَةٍ يُحْبَرُونَ.
And as for those who had believed and done righteous deeds, they will be in a garden of paradise, delighted.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The point which is mentioned about the people of paradise is both faith and righteous deed. While concerning the people of hell, the Quran suffices to mentioning only their lack of faith, which leads to both the rejection of divine signs and resurrection. This points to the fact that for entering into paradise, mere faith is not enough and righteous deed is also necessary. But for entering into hell, only disbelief is enough, though the one has not committed any other sin, since disbelief itself is the greatest sin.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً يا ربي.
IRIB English Radio and this program today is special and this part Standing Firm on the Path of Allah you're listening to. Many verses of the Holy Quran show believers praying for the ability to stand firm. When the forces of Talut meet Jalut, they are a few in number, but they pray for strength that eventually leads to their victory. The Quran captures this beautifully. Allah says in the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 250, And when they went out against Jalut and his forces, they said, Our Lord, pour down upon us patience and make our feet steady and assist us against the unbelieving people. In another place, Allah quotes the prayer of the godly people who struggle with the Holy Prophet. In chapter 3, verse 147, Allah says, All that they said was, O Lord, forgive us our sins and our excesses in our affairs. Make our feet steady and help us against the unbelieving people. Allah the Almighty also promises to grant firmness to those who help His way. As you can see in chapter 47 of the Holy Quran, verse 7, Allah says, O you who have faith, if you help Allah, He will help you and make your feet steady. Interestingly, the Quran also talks about firmness in speech and strength and firmness of the heart. There can be no success in faith without firmness in all aspects of human output. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to remain steadfast in the right path. There are some reasons for not following up the line of the Ahlul Bayt and the line of the true Islamic religion. One of them is being too much detached to this worldly life and being mercenary. You find that when some people are not very much detached to this worldly life, or they are not detached, they are not very much attached to money, to collecting money, to hoarding money, they would be ready to sacrifice their own lives in favor of the Islamic religion. However, when some people taste the sweetness of worldly life, of course it's, I mean, quite transitory, or the sweetness of collecting money and being attached to this worldly life and enjoying it, you find that these two indications and these two causes make even some religious people from moving backward and turning away from the religious path. At the same time, we find that it isn't any important job to remain steadfast in the time and in the moments of comfort. Rather, steadfastness makes sense when people are in hard situations.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
When we look at the means of steadfastness in Islam, we reach to the remembering of Allah, that is dhikr. This is one of the greatest means of being steadfast in Islam. Think about the combination described in this ayah. O you who believe, when you meet an enemy force, take a firm stand against them and remember the name of Allah much, so that you may be successful. Dhikr is one of the most effective aids to standing firm. How did Yusuf stand firm in the face of temptation of the part of the powerful and beautiful woman who called him to do wrong? Did he not enter the fortress of seeking refuge in Allah and thus defeat the waves of temptation? This is the effect of remembering Allah on making the believers steadfast.
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا الهادي الودود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
From the qualities of a believer, this is one. Believe in the unseen. One of the characteristics of a believer is to believe in Allah, the one true Allah who created everything. It is this belief that propels other articles of faith which cannot be seen. This includes the belief in angels, prophets, revelations, resurrection, and destiny, either good or bad. And this is why Allah puts it clear. Thus, Allah in chapter 2nd of the Holy Quran, that is chapter Al-Baqarah, verses 2-5, said, "This is the book, the Quran, whereof there is no doubt, a guidance to those who are the pious." Those who believe in the unseen and perform a salah and spend out of what we have provided for them, and who believe in which has been sent down, revealed to you, Muhammad, and in the Torah and the Injil, which were sent down before you, and they believe with certainty in the hereafter. They are on true guidance from their Lord, and they are the successful.
The belief in Al-Jannah encourages us to do good acts, noble acts. You see, the human being knows that good and noble acts, acts of kindness, they are good within themselves, even if there's no reward. If I tell you, there's a poor person here, he has no food, give him food, give him money to buy food. You don't need reward to do that. Do I have to tell you I'll reward you to do that? No, you know, you have aqidah that this is a good thing. I should do it even if there's no ajr, even if there's no reward. If I see an old man walking and he needs help, an old lady, I know I should help them. Even if there is no jannah, even if there's no reward, because an act of kindness should be done no matter what. The human being knows that. But is his knowledge enough? No. Because the human being is, number one, many times selfish. Give to the poor. If I give to the poor, my money will become less. I want my money for myself. Unless there is a self-interest for me, why should I help the poor? Correct? The human being knows it's good to help others, but he's selfish sometimes. Other times, he's lazy. I know I should help my old neighbor and he needs help, you know, removing his snow, plowing the snow, or raking the leaves. I know my parents need my help to do something, but sometimes I'm just lazy. I just can't, you know, it's too difficult. I want to just sit and watch YouTube, watch the game. I want to play video games or whatever. So sometimes the laziness is what? It's too strong. So it's not enough that I know, you know, it's good to help other people. The human being needs a more powerful enticement, a more powerful incentive and motive. This is where Allah Azza wa Jal comes and tells me, look, if you help other people, if you are kind with other people, you help the elderly, you know, for example, build a hospital, an orphanage, you help an orphan, poor people, any kind act that you do, if you do that, I will give you an unimaginable reward. What does this do? This will encourage me to go and help others, not for them, but for Jannah.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, in which we discussed about standing firm in Islam and means of steadfastness in Islam. Inshallah, we continue this on the next episode. Till then, Allah bless all of you and believe you in Allah's protection.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought. Thank you. Hello, dear friends, and let us listen to a thought-stimulating statement from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him. The tongue is surely the key to every good and evil. You should seal your tongue as you seal your money. The Holy Prophet had said, "May Allah's mercy be upon the faithful believer who withholds his tongue from uttering any evil. For this would be an act of charity by him for his own self, since no one will be saved from committing sins before he seals his tongue."
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about zulm and oppression. Specifically, it is about oppressing somebody who has no helper, you know, besides God, any who's helpless and who does not really have any, you know, helper or assistant or any kind of a way to protect him and defend him from your oppression besides God. You know, it has been narrated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The wrath of Allah is indeed severe on one who wrongs somebody that has no one to help him apart from God. And it seems that this is a very important and significant for the A'imma alayhi salam, conveying the idea that this is a grave sin, and they wanted to advise us not to do this. Because in the hadith we want to recite for you today, Imam Bakr alayhi salam narrates that when his father, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, was approaching death, right? So death is a very significant time. This is the end of one's life. You know, if somebody says something at the time of death, it obviously indicates that this, the thing he's saying and telling others, is very important for him. The Imam says that when Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was approaching death, he hugged him close to his chest and said, "Oh my son, I'm advising you of the same thing that my father advised me in his will when he was approaching death." And so Imam Bakr says Imam Sajjad said that his father, so Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, advised him about this, and the same thing that he said his father advised him, meaning Imam Ali alayhi salam, advised Imam Hussein the same thing. What was this advice? It was this: "Oh my son, ya bunayya, iyaka wa zulmaman la yajidu alayka nasiran illallah. Oh my son, beware of wronging the one and oppressing the person who has no helper against you besides Allah." And in fact, in some hadiths, the severity of the punishment which is perpetrated on such an oppressor, is mentioned. Imam Ali was once asked, "Which sin hastens punishment down on its perpetrator the fastest?" To which he replied, "He who wrongs somebody that has no helper save Allah. He who repays bounties with negligence and laxity, and he who displays arrogant and intimidating behavior towards the poor." These are some of the sins which hasten punishment and which bring punishment down upon their perpetrators very quickly. One of which is the sin we were talking about today, which is oppressing somebody who doesn't have anybody to defend him besides God. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the sin of oppression in the words of Imam Bakr alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Welcome back again, respected brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum. Let's inshallah continue our review session. So Brother Ali Nasir, Fawad Haider and Hussein Rohullah, welcome back again.
Thank you.
Welcome.
هذا النور شفاء صدور فاض وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن.
So guys, we were doing like a quick review on the rules of Nun Sakin and Tanween. Okay?
Yes.
Right? So whenever we have the throat letters, we apply the rule Ilha, right? So what were the throat letters? Hamza?
He
ha
ha
ha and
Ayn
and
Ghain.
Yes.
Ayn Ghain, Ha Ha, Hamza Ha.
Yes.
So Hamza Ha, they are separate letters, not pairs, okay, or couples. But ha kha, they are kind of the same. Brothers. Ayn ghain, they are the same. All right?
Yes.
So these six letters are there, so whenever you meet them, or actually not you, okay? So whenever the tanween or nun sakina, in any of them, meets one of these letters, or they come before, and hamza or any of those letters comes next, so what do you apply? The rule? Izhar. How do you apply the rule Izhar?
By not applying.
By not applying any rule.
Yes.
Not changing anything. Just Tanween is pronounced as Tanween. Nun Sakina is pronounced as Nun Sakina. For example, the word Min Hu. How do you say this?
Min
Hu.
Min Hu. Simple as that. Nothing is changed. Yes. Not Min Hu or Mihu or whatever, okay? Mihu, no, nothing. So, whenever you have tanween or nun sakina plus one of these six letters, the rule idghar. So, what was the rule ikhfa? That was easy. Let's talk about the rule idgham first. Idgham,
merging letters.
Yeah, merging. Yeah, great, merging. Idgham means merging.
Merging.
So, there are two types of merging. Yes, merging with.
غنّة.
And merging without?
غنّة.
What was غنّة?
A nasal sound.
Nasal sound. This sound. Okay, now, what were the letters that make you or force you to apply the rule idgham?
Qutbijad
letters?
No.
MashaAllah.
Yarmalun letters?
Yarmalun letters, not Qutbijad letters. Qutbijad letters were in?
Qalqala.
So, Yarmalun letters. So, what are Yarmalun letters?
Yeah. Re, La, Mim, Nun.
If you say Yeah, that is Farsi one or Persian one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ra,
Mim,
La,
Wow, Nun. Yarmalun. Six letters. So, six letters for Idharul. Six letters for?
Idgham.
So, what do you exactly do with these letters? What exactly idgham means here?
Merging.
Merging. How do you merge?
We merge.
How do you merge? For example, you have tanween or nun sakin.
You combine both sounds.
One of them. You combine the sound of?
Like one of these letters to the next letter.
Yeah. So how do you, for example, the word mim nun man nun sakin. Then you have ya. How do you say this?
Me.
No. Me or may.
May.
Yes, whatever. So if it has fatha. Man ya'mal. Faman ya'mal. How do you say this?
Faman ya'mal.
Ah, mashallah. Faman ya'mal. Noon is merged to ya as if noon is gone.
Yes.
It's no longer there, okay?
I have a question. Yep. It only connects from the sixth letter to, again, from those like ya to lam, mim to waw. Or other letters are involved as well?
No. So look, the letter Nun Sakin or Tanween will be merged into or with?
Just the Yarmalun letters?
Yeah, just the Yarmalun letters. Okay? So that's why we say Yarmalun letters, we call it merging, yes? Idgham. That's it, these six letters. Okay? But remember, I told you in this lesson that we have tashdeed as well, yes? Shadda. So shadda means also like two letters are merged together. We have double letters. For example, you say Rabb.
This Rabb, the first ba is sakin. The second ba has fatha.
Lillah.
No, lillah, yes. These two lam are also merged. So I told you, sometimes we have idgham. Idgham was? Idgham?
Mithlain.
Mithlain. Mashallah. The two identical letters. That's also idgham, merging, okay? But what we mean here is idgham with nun sakin or tanween. Okay? So, from these six letters, they are divided into two groups, all right? So, idgham with ghunna. What were the letters?
Yamun.
Yamun. Ya, mim, wal, and
nun.
So, what does idgham with ghunna mean?
Idgham with the nasal
sound. Yes. You prolong it for how many counts?
Two counts.
For just two counts on, we can continue to.
Two counts? No, the normal sound is two counts, but it's ghunna, okay?
But ghunna, if you add more, ghunna, is it wrong?
Remember, ghunna has two count sounds.
If you add more, it's wrong?
No, it's okay, because in the recitation, you can prolong it. Look, how many counts? Four counts. It depends on your recitation, okay? That's not wrong.
Like, we can stretch
but
how
less
much
than
we
that,
want.
Less than that is wrong. If you
we
say,
can stretch how much we want.
This is wrong.
We can stretch how much we want.
Up to six counts.
More than six
like the mat. Like the mat, okay? It's like the mat.
Yes.
But you, in the mat, that's what we studied, that you can prolong it more.
Yeah.
Okay? It is that. But normal, the normal sound is two counts, okay?
Two counts.
You can prolong it for four counts, six counts.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي.
But remember that sometimes we prolong it to an extent that even the rhythm of the ayah or the sound of the ayah is kind of changed. You don't have to do it, okay?
Uh-huh.
No need to do this. Enough, okay? So that was about idgham with ghunna. But about four letters, what are the areas? Ya, mim, waw, nun. Yamun, remember this word. Yamun, easy. So, the next two letters left, lam and ra. Okay? Lam and ra.
Yes.
So, idgham with?
Without.
Out ghunna.
Yes.
With? Out ghunna, yes?
Without.
Yes. Send the ghunna out.
Yes.
So, idgham with out ghunna, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So, with out ghunna, what does it mean? It means that you do not apply the rule ghunna.
Yes.
Not for two counts. Just merge them. Go ahead. How? Min ra.
Mir.
You do not need to. Mir rabbihim. I want to prolong it for four counts. No. Don't do it, okay? Mir. Even two counts, no. Mir rabbihim. Simple. Mir rabbihim, go on. So merge this mim to that ra, while actually nun is merged, okay? When nun is merged, okay, so the ra sound is there. Mm-hmm. Then mim is simply joined with that sakin ra. Mir rabbihim, nun is sacrificed actually here, okay? It is the victim. So that was about idgham with ghunna and without ghunna. Then we talked about the rule, iqlab, then ikhfa. Yes?
Yes.
Because like the rest of the letters, when they are left, any letters left, the rule ikhfa will be applied for. So, the rule iqlab for what? The rule iqlab was applied with what letters? How many letters were there? Five or ten?
One.
Yes.
What letter was that?
Ba.
Ba or?
The letter ba.
Ba.
Okay.
Yes.
The letter ba.
Only.
So the letter ba. How do you do the word? The what does iqlab mean? Changing.
Changing.
Yes.
Changing. Okay.
Changing the sound of one letter to another letter.
Simple.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. For example, sometimes, okay, we have this in, like sometimes the letter da, ta with two dots. Ta and the letter ta. Sometimes they come next to one another, okay? You change the sound of, or for example, you merge the sound of ta to ta, or you change the sound of ta to ta, and you only pronounce the letter ta.
Tot.
Okay? So we have some words, okay? Inshallah. I think we
can now we
them.
Pronounce it that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dram Muslain, I think
Shay, can we not just pronounce it that?
Dal.
Yeah.
No, it is in a word, okay? When it's in the word, okay? So it happens another way. So, iqlab was to change the sound of tanween or nun sakin to a slight meme. Yeah, a soft meme.
Yes. I have a question.
Was it a complete meme? Yeah.
Tathir. It's you.
Tathir. No, tathir. No, I mean, look, there was an example. I forgot it now. Both were sakin, okay? Ta and ta. Both were sakin. It was in the Quran. I just forgot the example.
So, tat both are sakin?
No, tat is not. Tat both are not sakin. Ta has fatha.
Yes.
Ta.
Ta.
Oh, yeah.
There's a word before it.
Yeah. So, inshallah, when I remember that word, I will tell you. But now I don't have it in my mind. Okay. What was I telling you? Iqlab. The nun sakin or tanween sound will be changed to a slight or a kind of soft meme sound. Was it a complete meme?
No,
a half meme. As if there is a little space.
Mail.
For example, a
paper.
Yeah, paper.
Mail.
That sound. Not complete meme. So when you say meme, the lips touch.
Yes.
Yeah? This is. Okay? Min ba'di. Okay? Min ba'di. That's it. That was about iqlab. Let's take a break, inshallah, okay? And we'll be back. Stay with us, respected brothers and sisters who listen to us. Thank you so much. Thanks to Allah Almighty, first and foremost. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. We will be back. Stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil fajr.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن. It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before.
I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanted whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, you know, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom. And also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'll be back. Don't go away. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javed, since we are, you know, talking about the mourning ceremony of Imam Hussein, in fact, especially when we are approaching the Arba'in pilgrimage or Arba'in walk, would you, in fact, be kind enough to talk about the logic of such a gathering and such a pilgrimage?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the logic of this pilgrimage, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, is that it is the logic of defending the truth and resistance against oppression against transgression, against deviation and arrogance. And this is the logic of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Today the world needs this logic. It is in dire need of this this logic. Today the world is witness to the rule of kufr, arrogance and corruption everywhere, of course. And the world is witness to the rule of oppression. There's no doubt about it. The message of Imam Hussain is actually the salvation of the world. The great movement of Arba'in conveys this message to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And by Allah's favor and grace, this movement should, of course, be strengthened on a daily basis.
Right.
And of course, the fervor, the enthusiasm must increase day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is, of course, tremendous benefit in taking part in this procession. And of course, when Muslims from different parts of the world gather in millions, it's a display of solidarity, it's a display of unity, and it is a display of a manifestation of being one and together.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sheikh Javid, you know, is it, you know, obligatory to have a valid passport, you know, in order to secure, for example, or require, you know, the required visa and documents and stuff which are needed, in fact, when you travel through borders? You know, especially in this, you know, special ceremony, if we want to, in fact, join the Arba'in Walk?
Of course, it's a good question because there are some people who do not at the moment, for example, have their passports ready.
Mm-hmm.
They want to take part in the procession and the Arba'in rally, and they might want to cross the borders illegally. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, it is necessary in all circumstances to comply with the pertinent laws, with the regulations. And of course, it depends on the agreements reached between, for example, between Iraq and another country. Now, Iranians, for the time being, they are able to go without even a valid visa or anything because the two countries have reached an agreement allowing the Iranians to go through the doors and go to Iraq without even having any visas because it's already settled that the two countries have reached an agreement. So everything in this scenario depends on the law and the regulations of the country, and it's not permissible, according to His Eminence, to violate the law and the regulations.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue you know, our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, regarding this amazing gathering of people, you know, about, in fact, you know, commemoration of the Imam Hussein's martyrdom anniversary, and also the pilgrimage or the walk of Arba'in. Stay with us.
I walk in the night with millions of stars. Your eyes pull me to you. Who are you? I walk in the day with millions of angels. I see you in all these faces. Who are you? One step I fade away, the next step I'm born again. You're flowing in my veins. Who are you? Wherever I get tired, you call me from far and near. Whenever to me, desire, desire, dream some water, desire, desire, dream, desire, desire.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about, in fact, some of the Islamic laws related to the mourning ceremony of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or peace be upon him, and also Arba'in and Arba'in pilgrimage and the walk. Well, Sheikh Javid, you know, I asked you a question regarding a valid passport before the break. I would like to ask a quite relevant question.
Yes.
You know, if there's a devout Muslim who says that I don't have much time and I can't afford the time, in fact, to go to the, for example, the police department to, you know, have one of these passports issued for me, per se, can I, because I don't have enough time, can I just refer to, for example, my brother and, of course, with his consent, use his passport, for example, to join the Arba'in walk?
Well, compliance with the pertinent laws and regulations is necessary in all circumstances. It's not permissible for an individual to make use of his brother's passport, because his brother's passport is not his passport, and therefore any violation of such laws and regulations is not permissible according to Ayatollah Khamenei.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay. What about the college students, Sheikh Javid? You know, can they take some time off, in fact, even during their school year, educational year, to attend the Arba'in pilgrimage?
Well, you know, if taking off during the school year will have a very negative impact on their studies and on their education, and will probably disqualify them from continuing the university or college studies, it's not good for them to take off, because it will have a negative effect on their studies, which is not good. You know, the Arba'in procession is not obligatory. It is just recommended for people to take part in it. And, of course, students must abide by the laws and regulations of their schools. You know, if the schools do not allow them to take off and to, you know, leave this college or the schools, they should not do so, and they should follow the pertinent laws, you know, governing their school.
Sheikh Javid, another question regarding, in fact, the Nazr, or which we call it, the religious vow.
Wow.
And,
yes.
You know, some people are very, you know, pertinent about this, and they are keen on, in fact, making a pledge and a vow to do something, for example, to hand out food, for example, to the pilgrims,
yes,
you know, or to people generally on the occasion of Arba'in. And there is a woman who asked this question, if he has pledged to offer food, for example, all right, as a religious vow,
yes,
every year on the occasion of Arba'in. But this year, she intends to, in fact, join the Arba'in walk, participate in the Arba'in pilgrimage herself.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously, on the day of the Arba'in, she'll be in Iraq. You know, she won't be in her hometown, right?
Yes.
So, you know, how does, you know, how can she, in fact, fulfill her vow according to the Sharia law?